I'm on. I wanted to give you the title right off the bat because we hear this term put in different ways. But for that sake, the title, the teaching of the title is Teach Me. Plain and simple. Teach Me. A lot of times when it comes to reaching out to our Almighty God, for help, we say, show me, my Heavenly Father. But another way is to say, teach me. We go to God and say, show me. It's just like faith and believing. Faith and believing are the same, but it's like believing just hits you a little bit more in the center of the heart. So teach me, I think, hits you more in the center of the heart as opposed to show me. Sounds more like a general statement, if you will. When we were a child, we needed to be taught to read, write, and spell, right? And so we needed a teacher so that we could be successful in those regards as we got ready to go to school, preschool, and so on. But my dear and loving mother was my preschool. I didn't actually have to go to a preschool because mom was the preschool. And let me tell you, she had a plan. A plan that I was being involved with at the tender age of 5 years old. And all I wanted to do was go outside and play with my friends. That was my priority. Go play with my friends. She goes, you come in here, sit at the table, and we're going to go over these things. So, begrudgingly, I sat down. But you know what? It sank in. How she told me about the phonetics of speaking, spelling, correct verbiage, tense, past tense, all those things. She didn't throw it all at me at one time, just step by step by step. So, when I got to school and the teacher says, who wants to read? I am going to explode. Let me read. So she called on me, and I just breezed right through the reading. She goes, wow, you're doing pretty good. I said, if you knew my mom, you'd understand why. So whenever you and I are going to do something, we need instruction or someone to teach us the right way. It's crucial, and we need to do that. Make that choice in our lives. This causes you and I to be successful, informed, profitable, with the knowledge that we receive from the teacher or teachers, all right? And really, life, we're never done learning, right? My mom told me that one thing she said, she goes, you know what, sweetheart, she goes, you'll never know everything, hence you will always be learning new things, just making sure it's the right one. When it comes to life and godliness, like we see in God's Word, who better to teach us than the Almighty God? Amen? And Father of us all. Not forgetting Jesus Christ, our big brother, who was the perfect example. He was a perfect example. Never taught intellectuality, but what Jesus Christ taught was compassion. Compassion. You need to have that in your hip pocket, okay, to pass on to those around you who need it, instead of lashing out at them per se. Jesus Christ was a man. And you know what? He faced temptations like you and I do today. A little bit different, but still yet temptations. And how did he deal with them? He went to the Father. The Father taught him how to deal with these things. And we'll see in a moment how others taught him how to walk the right way. Could he have said, nah, I'm playing hooky? Sure, he could have said that. But he didn't. He was humble and hungry at heart. In the history of mankind, we see all kinds of mistakes and failures throughout history with mankind. And why? It's simply because of wrong teachings or man not wanting to do what was right because of his arrogance and some other bad traits. And it's all throughout history. All you got to do is go through your history book and you'll see all these wrong things that men did. Could they have done the right thing? Absolutely. Absolutely, but that's not what their choice was. And that's where we get the word righteousness, right living, or the right way of living. Of course, God, for the most part, is talking about his relationship with you and I, your acknowledgement of Jesus Christ and what he did, but it carries over into our worldly life. We're not, what's the verse talking about? Salt water and sweet water doesn't come out of our mouth. It's one or the other. See? And that's what makes our lives better, and it builds us up, and we pass God's love out that way. All right? Remember, we have the freedom of will, even if the results are failures, or worse yet, disasters, and that's happened in life. All you got to do again is crack the history book. We can never put the blame on God, can we? No. No. God is probably saying, no, don't do that. And you're like, you do it, and then you suffer the consequences, right? I'm as guilty as the next person. Like our earthly fathers and mothers, because mothers, like mine, like I said, taught me the English spectrum backwards and forwards. They are the teachers that we have as a little child growing up. And what's best for their children is what they're concerned about, right? Some of you here have had children. And those of you who have had children know that you want the very best for them, right? But with God and his ways, it comes with wisdom and love. When you're taught, you're being given wisdom. But when God gives you wisdom, it's the best. It's the best. You just have to lock on to that and grab it with gusto. Now, we're going to start by going to God's perfect word and see some of his exhortations, and I call them lessons that we can glean, that we can take from and apply it in each one of our personal lives. So the first one, if you will, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 1. It's a familiar verse, but we're still going to look at it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to read this one out of the NLT. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Tell me, when you were raised, did your parents ever discipline you? Mm-hmm. Mine did. It was a twofold thing. If it wasn't that bad, and I allowed myself to be disciplined, or whatever it was, my mother took care of that part. But if the big guns were needed, you know what she says? I'm going to tell your father. No. So she never really had to bring him in, because my brothers and sisters and I said, okay, I was wrong. Sorry. What do I need to do? Right? But we all need discipline at one time or another. Now, we all believe that Jesus was the only perfect man. From about 12 years to 30, 33 years old, Jesus was taught the scriptures and the Jewish laws back in the day, along with learning from his early parents, Joseph and Mary. He definitely had the Holy Spirit working in his heart. That's one of his attributes, Jesus Christ. We have Holy Spirit in our hearts, but It's for me, it's hard to fathom that a 12-year-old has this hunger to know more about his Heavenly Father. But he did. He did. He had that Holy Spirit working in his heart. And we'll see this later. As a result, let's take a look into his early life and read a record of Jesus growing. And for that, please everybody go to Luke chapter 2. We'll start in verse 40. Luke 2:40. Very interesting record. And it says here, and the child grew. Who's this child? Jesus Christ. It didn't say, and the child became stagnant. It didn't say the child said, I don't want to do that. It said he grew. Okay? And waxed strong in spirit. In spirit. Filled with wisdom. There you go. filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. What a blanket to have put over you. The grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Nothing wrong with that. And when he was 12 years old, here we go, 12 years old, mind you, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. I guess it's sort of like if, I don't know, you went, this was a true story. Someone asked me to take care of their child. The child was about this big, young, because they wanted to do something that weekend. I said, absolutely. I told them, I'm going to swap meet. Can I take him with me? And they said, sure. They put their trust in me to watch over their young child. So you get to swap meet, and there's people all over the place, and I'm trying to focus on things and watch him at the same time. So I'm going to chalk this one up as God gave me the idea. So I thought, how can I watch him and still yet enjoy or look for what I'm looking for? So out the corner of my eye, I see somebody there selling balloons. So I bought one red balloon. I took that red balloon and the string and tied it to the back loop of his pants. So everywhere I looked, I could see that balloon doing this. I knew where he was, right? And it worked like a charm. I wasn't really having stress, you know, where's it, where's it? I just saw the balloon. So it worked. It worked. But children get lost in big crowds. It's nothing new. Luke, my Bible moved on me. Yeah, my Bible moved on me. I'm getting there. Okay, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances, their friends and family, basically. They found him, looking for him there. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. I'm sure they're a little frantic, you know. Where's our son? Where's our son? Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. I'm sorry. If I was 12 years old, I would be found there. I'd be out there building a sandcastle or throwing rocks or what have you. But still, yet, that's where Jesus Christ was. Not only was he there just listening, he was asking questions at 12 years old. You know, that's amazing. And all that heard him were astonished. So would I be. So would I be. And they never tied a balloon on Jesus Christ. That's where he was. They were astonished at his understanding and answers. Sounds like they're talking about an adult, but they're talking about 12-year-old Jesus Christ. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. It's a natural response if you're the parent and you lose your kid. They were sorrowing. But here's the response. And he, Jesus Christ, said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Would you not that I must be about my father's business? Everybody said, Huh? That's where Jesus Christ was. He was learning. Teach me. He was learning, which I think is remarkable. And so the scripture goes on and to show that it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. God was already working in his only begotten son's life. All right? Now, speaking of good judgment and knowledge, let's read Psalms 119:66. Psalms chapter 119, and when you get there, go down to verse 66. And the first word in Psalms 119:66 is, teach me. Teach me. Teach me what? Good judgment. Good judgment and Knowledge. Knowledge of what? The Word. The knowledge of what the Father wanted him to learn. No one held a gun to him. This is what he wanted to do. But it says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went off. I went aloof. But now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. And verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me. We have that today. We have that today. People try to trick you, try to scam you. Okay? But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. With my whole heart. You talk about rising up and making a commitment. That's what that was. I want to close with this scripture. So if you could turn to Romans chapter 11 and in verse 33. There's so much that you and I can learn in the world. We've got bachelor's, master's. I've got two cousins. One of them went through all that, and one of them went after her PhD. So she's very knowledgeable. Plus, she's a pianist extraordinaire. Her sister, she went to work for the FBI. You know, so they're very knowledgeable in things of the world. But God doesn't want us to be ignorant when it comes to spiritual matters. Those aren't my words. Those are God's words. Because in life, everything is motivated spiritually, behind the scenes, either good spirits or bad spirits. God wants us to know what's happening. He wants us to be sharp. So when these things come, we're not like, why did that happen? You know, I have people every once in a while say, if there's a God, why are all these wars happening? Why are all these murderers happening? Why are all this and that happening? They don't know that the devil is the god of this world. I didn't know that at one time, and I was asking the same questions. But that's what is happening, and God wants us to know that so that we're better prepared. We rise above those kind of things. See, we're there to help, not to be like the news media sensationalizing that stuff. We don't need to do that. Do you want to sensationalize, or you want to really talk about something, talk about the good news of our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, do that. People need to hear that more than anything else. So, this is part of God's grace. When you say, teach me, this is part of God's grace. He is willing and able to teach you, to teach us, that He, God, makes available to you and for I growth and knowledge and wisdom that we need to carry. That we need to carry us to eternal life. Now. Now. Okay. It's going to happen. Irregardless. It's going to happen. So, how much of God's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and by the way, those are the nine manifestations, do we want? Ask yourself that. How much do you want? I'll close with this. The Word of God is open 24/7. It's not like libraries are shut down after a certain amount of time. It's not like it's spring break. The Word of God is available to you and I 24 hours, 7 days a week, nonstop. All we have to do is pick up the book, the Bible. I've told this to a parent in the past, and they would say, oh, I already know about God and stuff like that. And I said, how? Well, I've heard it in church and stuff like that. I said, did you ever open the Bible and read that? And he goes, no, I know. I said, so let me ask you a question. When you send your child to school, do you tell them before they leave the house, when you get to class, and the teacher says, okay, we're going to do some math problems, tell them, I've got it, and you hold the book up to your forehead, and you know it? What do they have to do? Open the book. They have to study the book. They have to apply themselves to what's in the book. The same thing with the Bible. And why would you not want to do that? So this particular adult that I was talking to, He goes, well, if you put it that way, I said, no, it's God's way. The only way you can learn about Him, Jesus Christ, and about you and your standing is to open the book. Open the book. The very same way you do when you're in school. Teach me. Teach me. And remembering this, if we have the desire to grow, and that's an important part of it, desire, then God has the help to give. Amen?
Amen.
God Almighty has always wanted to help you and I. But you know what? One of the prerequisites, if you will, is to have desire. I was told many, many years ago about this healing that I was looking for. This person said to me, so, do you desire that? And I go, huh, I never looked at it that way. And he goes, you have to have the desire to be healed. You have to have the desire to be delivered. You have to have the desire to seek this help. Otherwise, what are you doing? Right? So that's all it takes with our Heavenly Father. So when it comes to show me, simply put, it's teach me, and God will. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your help, Father. Any time of the day, any day of our lives, Father, when we need help, we can always seek you first. And you will have the answers that we need, whether it's instantaneous or in a day or two. It doesn't matter, Father. We will still seek you for your help. And so our prayer is, teach us. Teach us what we should know and what you want us to know. And as a family, Father, we can help one another. As it says in your word, iron sharpeneth iron. And so I thank you again for each heart here tonight and the significance that each heart here tonight makes, first of all, in their lives and in those around them, with the best news, with the best knowledge and wisdom we could ever know, and that's you and your word. And it's in Jesus Christ, Father, that I lay this prayer at your feet. Amen.
Amen.